going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
2 days from the draft, Washington will be on the clock at 29 overall. Will they stay there? Who knows? Nikki Javala covers the team and does a great job of covering the team for the Washington Post. At Nikki Javala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A on X on Twitter. She's just written a story titled Commander's Draft Guide, Positions of Need, Prospects to Watch on Offense. Actually, that was from a few days ago, but read it at the Washington Post, and you can link to it on Nikki's X page. All right, so let's cut to the chase. Right now, it feels like, you know, all of these conversations center in on 29 and then a bunch of names, which keep getting regurgitated, but I have a feeling you've got some different names. But A, do they stay there and take a player or not? B, give me your best guess here 2 days before on who they take before we get to the list of players that it'll come from.
Okay. So I mean, ideally, I don't know if they will or not, obviously, but in perfect world for me, I'd like to see them trade back. They only have 5 picks coming into this draft, pick up another selection and trade back, you know, maybe 5 or 6 spots to a team that needs a quarterback, like Giants, Browns, Saints, maybe. You know, that's, you got to have a trading partner to make that happen. So I don't know that it's feasible. And this is one of those drafts where, you know, it's generally perceived as weaker than most years. So I don't know that there'll be a ton of teams, you know, clamoring to move up, but we'll see. But that would be my preference. Now, if they stay at 29, I mean, I think they could have a number of options available to them. I would be surprised if they take a running back, a receiver in the first round. Just going back through all of Adam Peters' drafts, and there's obviously only one with him as GM here. But dating back to when he was an executive personnel with the Broncos to the 49ers, you know, they've generally stuck to trading or defensive guys, premium positions. And I could see them still doing that here. So, you know, an edge rusher, corner, I could see them taking a tackle. If there's one they really like, I don't know that there will be at 29. But either of those, they even a linebacker, that kid from UCLA, a walk-on. And you know who else was a walk-on at UCLA? Adam Peters. So, yeah, I think there's a number of
I didn't know that. There. He was a walk-on at UCLA?
Yeah, really? I think he walked on as a defensive end and then realized he didn't have, you know, a future beyond that and turned to scouting and, yeah.
All right, so give me the name right now that you're going to put out there before
the name,
Thursday.
I'm saying this with the hope of making it true. I don't think he'll be available, but I'm going to say Michael Williams. I'm going to hope he's there.
Right. Okay. You know, in talking about, you know, I had John on the podcast last night, and he kind of focused in on offensive line as well. Like, I've been saying, they're not going to take a quarterback and they're not going to take a pure left tackle. I don't even know if there's a such a thing as a pure left tackle anymore, because it seems there's so much versatility between tackles, both sides, and even tackles and guards. But if they were to take an offensive lineman, you know, a Josh Simmons from Ohio State, you know, a Connerly from Oregon, would it just be an admission, we got to get bigger and stronger in the trenches to compete with Philadelphia?
Yes, and I think that would be the right approach. I mean, I honestly feel like it's nice to see this team really, truly invest in the offensive line. I've said it repeatedly. I don't know why more teams don't. I realize there are varying factors at play for every team, but I feel like offensive line behind quarterback and backup quarterback, that's the third most important position. And the good ones are the teams that win. And look at Philly, you know. I mean, they're loaded at every spot, but they've had one of the best offensive lines for years. So I think that would be the right approach, especially if they want to build up the run game. I feel like their numbers in the run game last year were deceiving a little bit because it was mostly Jaden Daniels. So I think that would be the right approach. I would, and this is one of those drafts that caters to building the trenches. I think they had an extraordinary first year under Dan Quinn. A lot of that credit goes to Jaden. A lot of it goes to Dan and Adam Peters. But, you know, there's still a lot of holes on this team that they got to fill in. The offensive line is not complete by any stretch.
No, you know, it's interesting, too, because 2 years ago, Tunsil, Allegretti, Biotish, Wiley, Coleman weren't on the team. So they've actually added a lot of bodies, and they've invested in a lot of bodies. Obviously, the biggest investment being in Laremy Tunsil. But I could see it continue, too, because their number one prized possession is their quarterback. And like you said, I doubt they want to see him lead the team in rushing in 10 games again next year.
No, definitely not.
Which leads to, and I agree with you too, I don't see a running back or a wide receiver at 29. But if you were to, I'll ask you first, give me the position that you'd be surprised they don't take anywhere in the draft.
Corner. If they don't take a corner, I would be surprised. And that could very well happen, but, you know, I just feel like there's, you know, they have enough people there to field a full secondary, but I just don't know if they have enough. I hate saying this, is because we haven't seen them work together. Maybe they're a very solid team together, but I don't know that they have enough talent back there in the secondary. And they need a solid defensive one, especially to keep up with, like you said, the Eagles, who had the best defense in football last season. I mean, Marshon Lattimore is still a question mark. I mean, you hope he can return to something close to what he was a couple of years ago. Hopefully he's healthy. But there's no clear person at outside corner opposite him. You know, Mikey Sanders still was there. They initially envisioned him as, you know, a slot guy. Do they want to move him back in the slot? Do they want to keep him outside? The guys they got in the secondary, both safety and corner, are very versatile, very athletic guys, but are they true starters? Can you see them as, you know, every down guys? I would be surprised if they don't take one and don't take one early, because I don't know that this draft is deep enough where you can find a ton of, like, clear starters late in the draft, but every year it does happen where there are gems late, so.
And Does your answer have anything to do with how you feel they may feel about Marshon Lattimore?
No, because I think they're optimistic about Marshon Lattimore. I mean, they certainly didn't like how things started for him or for them. But I think there's still optimism that it can work. The beauty of that deal, and it's similar to, you know, Debo and others, is it was a fairly low-risk trade. I mean, they gave up a third for a potential Pro Bowl corner. I mean, he is a Pro Bowl corner, but potentially another Pro Bowl corner who is experienced. And you have him for a year and a half, basically, and you can cut ties. if it doesn't work out. So it's fairly low risk. I haven't got the sense that they're down on him. I think they're fairly optimistic that he can bounce back after a full off season, getting healthy and really, you know, starting again from the start, you know what I mean? And not jumping in midseason.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said it that way. Like, I look at Deebo Samuel and I say that's a true low-risk deal, right? It's a fifth rounder for a guy with a lot of talent they're familiar with. Marshawn Lattimore, you did give up three picks for in the middle of a season. I know that you got one pick back. I think it was a fifth or a sixth rounder.
It's mostly pick swap, and you gave up a mid-round.
There's like, yeah, it was basically like a third and a fourth, essentially, right, what they gave up for him. But when they did it, they did it when they were 7-2 or 7-3 or whatever they were. And I think that's when maybe the mindset started to change a little bit. They didn't do it just in hopes that, you know, maybe he'd be great. I think they expected him to be Marshawn Lattimore. And that's what I'm trying to get at, because I don't know the answer. Have they changed their view on whether or not they're going to get the best of Marshawn Lattimore? Or maybe not change their view. Is there any concern about it?
I mean, maybe. I'm not in the meetings with them, but I mean, I think we'll know more once we see him on the field a little bit in OTAs and training camp. But, you know, I'm, either way, whether he comes back a Pro Bowler or not, I still think you need to draft a corner and high.
Yeah, and when you said corner, I mean, when you think about it, like, edge rusher would be, to me, like, I'd be surprised if they don't end up with a D-end, you know, edge pass rusher or edge run stopper somewhere. But the first answer that came to my mind when I was asked this the other day on a show was running back. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to take a running back in this draft. Not at 29.
Too.
I don't think they should take a running back at 29. But do you think they'll take a running back? And if so, why?
Yes, because I mean, first off, the four running backs that they have, the top four running backs, Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, Jeremy McNichols, Chris Rodriguez, they're all going to be free agents next year if they all make the roster this season. And the running backs, I mean, they kind of went dead late in the season. I mean, it was all Jaden Daniels. I mean, he was not only leading the running backs, he was the rushing game at the end of the season. And this is when they're pushing for the number six seed. So I think they need more out of Brian Robinson. Austin Eckler's been dealing with injury issues. Jeremy McNichols has been solid, but he's more of like a third down back. Chris Rodriguez, I still think there's something there. If a team develops and utilizes him more, I think he's a solid player if he can get more time on the field. But they need more there. That's simple truth.
Yeah, and it's a draft with a bunch of guys that could be, you know, contributors on NFL teams.
Yep.
And, you know, overall, they still need more playmaking ability. They need more team speed, I think, overall. We're talking, of course, to Nikki Jhabvala. Did they do enough during this offseason, you know, and maybe they would have gone for Myles Garrett. Maybe they're still interested in Trey Hendrickson, so maybe it's not over yet. But have they done enough, Nikki, to put themselves into position to just truly do what they did last year in the second round, which is take the best player available?
I'm going to give you the answer you won't like. I don't know. Because I don't know what this defense looks like with these pieces. I wasn't terribly sold on Javon Kinlaw, 3 years, $45 million. That one was sort of a head scratcher to me. I know Adam Peters is close with them. I understand the ties. I understand the optimism of getting him to play at his best. But he's been at multiple teams, and the production hasn't quite met the potential at either stop. So I'm a little bit miffed there. I thought they would take another, start a quality edge in free agency. I know they got Dietrich Wise, I think is a fine player, but not sort of that flashy edge rusher that, you know, most would kind of like a Trey Hendrickson. So, I mean, other than that, I really like the Tunsil trade. I like that they went big there. I'm okay with Deebo if Deebo plays like he did 3 years ago. The problem is Deebo's had one really quality season and not much since. but hopefully he can get back there. That's a hope for everybody, I believe. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, I mean, they had so many of their own free agents too, that sure. It was a lot to sort out. I was kind of surprised that they re-signed some of the guys they did, like, but I read it as purely camp competition. If they really show out and make a roster, great. If not, then
who were you surprised that they re-signed of their own free agents?
Some of the lower, like Trent Scott, Michael Dieter. I mean,
yep.
I mean, they leapfrogged Michael Dieter when, you know, they were down a guard. They moved Trent Scott inside. So I didn't quite understand that. But again, they've preached competition how many times? So bringing in guys that can compete.
Was there anybody of theirs last year that they didn't re-sign that surprised you? A Diami, a Zacchaeus?
Zacchaeus probably.
Yeah,
Jeremy Chin, I thought, could go either way. I mean, I thought he would have a pretty good market. And it was up to the team and Jeremy, really, on where he wanted to be. But Zacchaeus, I thought he was a good fit here. I know they really liked him. That one I was a little surprised at. Diami, no. I thought he would go elsewhere. I knew they would part with Jonathan Allen. I don't think there were many others.
I mean, Chin and Zacchaeus were the two for me. You know, I think what happens every year, and I'm at fault for this too, is we focus on, you know, the needs and the draft, and we forget about last year's draft and just assume that if they didn't perform in their rookie season, that they're not going to be any good, which just isn't true. So last year, you know, obviously Jaden and Sanra still, of their draft choices, were the biggest producers, and Newton played a bunch too. Of, you know, the Sinnott's, the McCaffreys, the Jordan McGee's, Hampton, John Baptiste, is there a player or more than one that you believe they have high expectations of kind of breaking out in year two?
I'd say McGee. I think Sinnott is partially dependent on can he get more touches. I also don't know that they view him as sort of the future of that group, but maybe that could change if he really shows out. And McCaffrey still seems pretty raw at receiver. But McGee, I mean, he played only 16 defensive snaps. And, they have Frankie Louvo back. They have Bobby Wagner back. They have virtually nobody behind those two. And Bobby Wagner's on a one-year deal. He's at that age where you just don't know how much longer does he want to play. He's still playing at a high level, but how much longer does he want to play beyond that? But they literally have no reserves. Their only linebackers on the roster currently, I believe, are Nick Ballore, a 35-year-old special teams ace, who's very good at special teams, but I don't know that he's somebody you want, you know, spelling Bobby Wagner, and Jordan McGee, who played 16 defensive snaps. He dealt with injuries at the start of his rookie season, built like a house. I mean, he's somebody I think they hope can take that leap. I mean, he's a good kid. You hope he can, you know, really prove himself in camp. But that would be the one, just because I think there's a need there. There's a spot there, and they liked him. They really liked him in the draft.
Yeah. You know, you said something that I almost have to remind myself each year of it, because we get so wrapped up into this draft. Now, last year, for good reason, obviously, you know, it was, are you going to get the right guy at quarterback that's going to change your franchise? But most years, especially if you're picking towards the back of the draft and you only have five picks, the team that you have right now, barring a Trey Hendrickson trade or something like that, is pretty much the team you're going to have. I mean, there's other veterans that will get released. I mean, the roster will change. And when you said, and I tend to agree with you, especially defensively, I don't know what to make of whether or not they got better defensively with what they have. And if they're not better defensively than they were last year, and the schedule on paper comes to fruition, meaning it's much tougher than it was last year, you know, it's going to be another rely on the quarterback to bail you out week in and week out season. It could be that.
And they face some tough quarterbacks.
I mean,
looking their home and away opponent. So, yeah, it could be very tough. I think that was you know, a big reason they added size to the defensive line. But, you know, again, it's you can have an all-star cast, but if they can't play well together, what's the point? I mean, they had four first-round picks on the defensive line. It was not once did that group ever play to its potential together. I think it was always, you know, they looked really good when it was just three of them, you know? I don't know how this defense is going to look. There's enough new pieces where I think they're a bit of a mystery. We know how the middle guys play. We know how some of the cornerbacks play. We know about Kwon, but the interior defense, as far as I'm concerned, is brand new when you take Jonathan Allen out. And I know he was out for, what, eight games last year? But, you know, they're changing that front, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny because Sweat, Chase, Duron, John, right? Four first round picks, and everybody's, oh, we're gonna be set up front for years. The best they played when they were all together was the COVID year. When Chase was defensive rookie of the year, I think everybody was healthy, and they were actually down the stretch that year, legitimately good on defense. And then that was it. That was basically it. For that.
They were just statistically. I don't know if they would have held up against tougher opponents, but yes, I don't want to say they would have.
They played really well against Pittsburgh. I remember that on like a Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock or something like that back in those days. All right. Last one. Give me a play, like you mentioned Mikel Williams. Love that player. Give me the shocker. Like you would be absolutely surprised. You said running back, wide receiver, but give me a player's name that they end up selecting at 29.
And I would be shocked by the position or the player?
The player and the position, either one.
I mean, honestly, it could be so many because I don't... I would say Mike Green or James Pierce. They need an edge rusher. They're two very good edge rushers. But there's more to their stories.
Yes.
That I think... may raise red flags, and especially given all the Commanders have talked about of finding the right guys and finding true Commanders. And I know every team says this. We want to find the right guys, blah, blah, blah. But they really hammered it home. So if they go out and draft somebody who is a very, very fine football player but has maybe some questionable things in their personal life or off-field, then it'll start to make you question, you know, what are they really doing here? What is the team really trying to build here? And is that, you know, are they full of it? And I don't know that they want to take that on, especially, you know, given the team's, you know, history over the last decade or so. So those would probably surprise me, but.
Totally agree. Especially, well, look, Green, I think, is just a better player in general.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I had three players that I'd be shocked if they took that I listed on Friday, and Pierce was number one on my list for all of the reasons that people have mentioned. They want guys who love football and are going to be competing every day. They want grinders. They love them. All right, great job as always.
Who are the other two on your list?
I said Luther Burden, who I love as a player, but he reminds me of Dotson because he takes plays off. He doesn't play plays to the end when it doesn't get called for him. And I'd be surprised if they took Hampton, a running back. I think Genty's the only running back worth taking in the first round because I think if you take a running back, you got to feel like that running back could end up being Saquon Barkley or Jameer Gibbs, you know, somebody like that.
Yeah.
Those were the
three.
I'm
with you.
But the Green thing, I don't even, if he's falling to them, then everybody found out what they needed to find out, which was steer clear, because that dude's legit talented. So is Pierce. But yeah, those were the three I mentioned.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with you.
Everything well?
All good here.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Of course.
Nikki Javala, everybody. Joe Beninati, if you missed him in the first hour, we'll play some of that back for you next. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980 and TheTeam980.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Off this draw, it squirts loose. On tempo, ready. Rebound and tight. Score! For the first time in his career, Alex Ovechkin has a Stanley Cup playoff overtime goal.
Joe Beninati on the call last night on Monumental. Caps 3, Canadians 2 in overtime. The first ever overtime goal in 45 tries in playoff overtime for the Great 8. Joe jumped on with me earlier in the show, Joe Beninati, that is. And I started off by asking him about the Caps' start. They were overwhelming Montreal at the start of that game, and yet ultimately it was just 1-0 at the end of one, 2-0 at the end of the second period, even though they had dominated Montreal.
Sure. Yeah, Kevin, I thought Martin Saint-Louis' team acquitted itself really well by the end of the night. Montreal didn't have a very good start. They're the youngest team in the playoffs. A lot of their guys are experiencing this for the first time or are very young in their Stanley Cup playoff career. So to practice and get ready for the Washington Capitals in game one of a best of seven in a building like Capital One Arena, yeah, you can do all you want to try and simulate it, but until you get into it, you really can't experience it. And the Caps were dominating in the first 10 minutes. And that's where you, as a Caps fan, you cross your fingers and go, geez, let this be 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 early. And it wasn't. They didn't get their power play goal from Ovechkin until late in that period. Sam Montembeau played extremely well for Montreal in the Nets. I thought he was solid all throughout.
Yeah,
he came very much as advertised. But the first shift of the game, McMichael makes a brilliant move. And Connor is someone we all root for because he has such great ability, and you just wish that he could bear down and finish that one. He had another great chance within a minute of that. It could have easily been 2-0, 3-0 in that first 10 minutes, but it wasn't, and Montreal kept getting better and better as the game went along.
Did you have any sense up 2-0 as the game just got to the point where it seemed like we were just counting it down to a 2-0 win? Because Logan Thompson was awesome in goal as well. All of a sudden, the game turned. Montreal had 20 of the last 22 shots on goal. I mean, do you ever sense a turn of momentum like that? Because the Caps were the better team, clearly, for 45 to 50 minutes of that game.
Kevin, you just used the word momentum. And in hockey, you can really feel it. And especially at this time of year. And for whatever reason, on the particular power play that preceded the Caulfield PPG, they got momentum from that goal, and all of a sudden confidence and more poise and more puck possession and better passing, and all of a sudden all the quickness and the high acceleration hockey that we heard Montreal likes to play, all of a sudden tipped on that momentum. It was that power play. It was that power play goal. They finally solved Logan Thompson. And Thompson was dazzling, I thought, last night. And we can get more into him. But momentum is a very, very powerful thing come playoff time. And for whatever reason, it clicked in Montreal's favor in the middle of that third period. And you were really worried that that Montreal might get in there and steal that home ice advantage.
I said something earlier in the show. It seemed to me, and I don't know anything about Montreal until watching them last night, that their top line of Caulfield, Suzuki, and Slavoski was so much better and so much more capable than anything else they put on the ice. Is that what we're going to see in this series, that if their top line doesn't generate their offense, they're in trouble?
I think it's a fair point. They are top-heavy, and that line that you just mentioned, Caulfield, Suzuki, Slavkovsky, one of the best, if not the best line in the entire league, Kevin, in the last 6 weeks of the season. I mean, you've got a lot of statistical data to support that. That's how good they've been. But they are a bit top-heavy. They've got a lot of character, a lot of grit, a lot of jam throughout the rest of their forward lineup combinations. They brought in a young player, a teenager from the KHL, Ivan Demidov. And if he plays with Newhook and Line A, as Martin St-Louis deployed them last night, there's a potential spark there. There's a lot of speed with Newhook, shooting ability with Line A, and off-the-grid quickness with Demidov. That might give you some problems, but no doubt at the top of your to-do list on the scouting report, you have to maintain Caulfield, Suzuki, Slepkovsky, and that's no easy assignment.
Were you surprised that Montreal didn't challenge the second goal?
So I'm going to get more clarity on this when I get to the rink today. In my opinion, Kevin, yes, the puck is hit by Beauvillier in a high stick manner on its way to the goal. The first person who touches the puck after the high stick, in my mind, and I know the rules well, I'm not an expert, but I know the rules very well. The first player who touches the puck after it's hit with a high stick, if it's a capital, the whistle blows. So in other words, if Beauvillier knocked that down from above his shoulders, in this case, to the ice, and then gets it possession and scores, that should have been a whistle. He deflected it above the height of the shoulders and above the height of the crossbar, but it didn't go in on the initial deflection, Kevin, right? It went off the goalie. So the next player to touch it is a Montreal player. To me, everything's free and clear. He gets the rebound. He buries it. He's allowed to do that. I'm going to confirm that with some people who know the rules better than I, but that's why I don't think it would have been a successful review or a successful challenge. Yes, if the deflection goes in from above, in that case, it becomes the height of the crossbar, definitely challenge, it would be no goal. But Beauvillier didn't knock it down to himself, possess it, and then score. That, to me, was the issue.
talking to Joe Beninati. The Caps in overtime last night, 3-2 winners over Montreal. Game two set for tomorrow night in Chinatown at Capital One. So you mentioned him already, and that's on my list to ask you. Assess Logan Thompson's first game in, you know, nearly a month.
Well, he looked really good. He looked really solid. His reads were good. He's always an incredibly powerful and reflexive goalie. But, Kevin, the best goalies in the league will tell you, and at this level, all pro goalies will tell you, sure, we've got the reflexes to catch up to these 100-mile-an-hour shots. But when we're at our best, when goalies are at our best, they're making things look easy. It's a positional matter that I thought Logan did a terrific job of after being out for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm sure that that rest helped to heal a number of different things that may have been ailing him. So he came into that with a good mindset last night. You know, hockey teams don't give up very much information in their practices, but that game was played on Monday, right, last night. So the team practiced downtown. Very rarely do they do that, at the big rink on Saturday. And Logan spent the entire practice in the end of the Caps defend twice. We call it the starter's net. If there was any giveaway, that might have been it, that he was in that end of the rink on Saturday, knowing that he was going to be the guy on Monday. And boy, did he turn in the kind of performance you hope for. I've said this in numerous occasions, Kevin. If you get January Logan Thompson, Washington can beat anybody. You haven't seen January Logan Thompson in a while for various reasons, but last night was really close to getting back to what I saw. He was so pinpoint and powerful. It reminded me a lot of the way he went through December, January, and early February.
Talking to Joe Beninati. So I thought last night was a pretty physical game and even a chippy game for game one. Usually you see the temper start to flare after a few games. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, that's just playoff hockey, and I don't know that Montreal wants to get involved at all in that with Washington. Not very many teams do, but the Caps do have a decided size advantage over Montreal. Montreal's defense in particular, I know that has to be part of the mission statement for Spencer Carberry and his coaching staff for the Caps forwards to hit whenever possible. Don't go out of your way to make a bad play just to make a big hit, but to hit and forecheck aggressively against the Montreal defense, force some turnovers, create some counterattacks that way. I don't think Montreal wants to have this game be played along the boards. Someone like Josh Anderson does, 17 does. He's basically, to me, and has always been very much similar to what Tom Wilson brings to Washington. Anderson brings at a lower degree, at a lesser level, to wherever he's played, whether it be Columbus or Montreal. He reminds me a lot of Tom. Skates like the wind, big guy, very physical, terrific fighter if need be. But other than that, they don't have, I don't think they have the beef to match up with Washington if this is going to be a board battle like that. I don't think they want to get overly physical with the Caps.
There is some Caps breaking news. We'll get to that in about a minute, so stay tuned for that. But I didn't want to lose this train of thought on something I wanted to ask you before now. And that is, you know, there was this discussion about the end of season, not winning, not playing well. Was it a focus on the OV chase of Gretzky? What was it? Can they turn the switch back on? How do you think they did with respect to that last night?
I asked Locker that. I asked our analysts quite a bit, Brent Johnson, Alan May, Bruce Boudreau, on and on, Tarik El-Bashir as well. Am I seeing what I think I see, which to me, Kevin, was just human nature. They ran away with the division. They ran away with the conference. They qualified for the playoffs so quickly. To me, they took their foot off the gas. And I don't know, make a track and field analogy. Usain Bolt in a prelim and a qualifier, he pulls up the last 20 meters. He's not running all out. It's not a final. To me, that was what Washington was doing. At least I hoped it was. And yes, there are other factors. There are injury factors. There were illnesses. And yes, the chase of Wayne Gretzky was all-consuming for that team. And I'm sure it took a lot out of them. I'm glad Alex did it in early April and allowed the team to refocus, because now individual achievements are not what matters. What matters now are team accomplishments. And this group is very, very tight-knit, incredibly cohesive. They know what the mission is ahead.
All right, the breaking news, and the Caps PR just put it out. Martin Fairbury, the defenseman that got hurt April 15th against the Islanders, actually had a surgical procedure yesterday to repair meniscus in his right knee, and he's going to miss the rest of the playoffs. The impact of his loss is what?
This is a player who can really move the puck. I think he's one of the more undervalued Caps defenders, and sure, Kevin, throughout this season, Washington was praised for scoring goals the way they did. I think they finished up second best in the league in terms of offensive goals per game. A lot of people thought, yeah, those 51 wins were mostly because of the offense, to a degree. They also got special goaltending for a long time from LT. They got special net mining at times from Charlie Lindgren. But to me, defensively, that group of six that was together for so long, and so unscathed by any injuries or any illnesses. I mean, there was a stretch there, Kevin. They played the same six defenders 60 straight games. I mean, that's almost unheard of. Fairbury is a great puck mover. He's an excellent skater. His skating ability allows him to be matched up against some of the other team's toughest offensive-minded players. He's physical. This is a significant loss. And as soon as that comes out of my mouth, I was happy with the way Alex Alexiev played last night. Alexiev is a bigger body. Not that Marty's not strong. Marty is incredibly rugged and well-built. But Alexiev carries that 6'4" frame. It gives him a little bit more reach. He can play with some snarl. He does not have the mobility of Fairbury, but Alexiev and Van Riemsdyk worked together a lot at the end of last season. They worked, I want to say, all four games of the sweep against the Rangers together. This group of six can be adaptable. They haven't had to be. They're going to be now with the loss of Marty, and that's it pains me because that's such a good kid, and you root for someone like that, and I feel badly that he'll be missing.
All right, Alex Ovechkin last night. I mean,
I know
first
him.
Of all, the goal that he scored on the power play looked like the record breaker, actually, against the Islanders. But, I mean, what are we watching here at 39 years old? I said at the beginning, and I don't know if it's hyperbole, but we may look back 10, 15 years and say this was the most memorable year of his career.
Which is stupid to say, right? Stupid
yeah.
to even think about. It's just amazing what he did. He scored 29 goals after he broke his leg.
Yeah.
At the age of 39. Come on, Kevin. He's rolling into these playoffs. Last year, he spent an incredible amount of energy after a slow start to the season. I want to say he was in single digits in goals come December. He roared home to another 30-goal season. Didn't have much of an impact on the New York Rangers as the Caps got swept as an 8 seed to the top seed in the first round last spring. That is what's highly motivating him this time around. And to see him have a 3-point game right off the jump, a 2-goal game, an overtime game winner, all of this is just another indication of what he has to do and how he leads with that Captain C by example. Get on the ice, bust your butt. When you get those shooting opportunities, bury them. And oh, by the way, when I think most of the year, Kevin, he was conservative by Ovechkin standards in terms of body hits and contacts. In the last few weeks, he's back to 5 and 6 hits a game, and several
seven
of them are not your real bone crunchers.
Yeah. I mean, he really looks like he's turned the clock back, and it's just amazing because, Joe, I was reading something yesterday or the day before about the top 50 players in the postseason. It was something ESPN.com put out. The first Cap on the list was number 33, and it was Alex Ovechkin. Is that a true reflection of their roster, that there's a lot of good but nothing great but him right now?
Well, I mean, in terms of postseason play, I mean, Alex is almost a point per game in the playoffs throughout his career. I want to say he's, what, 144 now in 152 games in the playoffs? Something along those lines, pretty close. I mean, he's always delivered. He had the Conn Smythe run in 2018. A lot of people thought Evgeny Kuznetsov was just equally as deserving of the playoff MVP the year the Caps won it all. Defensively, John Carlson, you know, has big numbers and has been there in the trenches when it matters. But, yeah, I mean, Alex is the bell cow for sure with regard to playoff experience and numbers. I just think there are a lot of guys who are ready to break out. And I wish we were seeing the Capitals with a healthy Alexei Protas, because when he's in the lineup, it makes a major, major difference with regard to the matchups. He has helped Washington become the offensive team they were this year. He's the most improved player in the league by a mile. And I don't know when he's going to be available. I hope he's available in this first round. But when they are fully constructed like that, there's a guy like Protas, like McMichael, guys who are young in their playoff careers who are hopefully going to blossom and turn their offensive gifts into what matters now at the most critical time of the year. Just like an Anthony Beauvillier, by the way, who's had several good playoff pass, one or two of them maybe were in a bubble during the COVID days. But Beauvillier is another guy who can deliver and seemingly has fit in right nicely as a spark plug for Strom and Ovechkin on that top line.
Just amazing, because we're a year removed from Ovechkin essentially being, you know, absent from a four-game sweep. I know the Caps were the 8 seed and the Rangers were the 1 seed, but there was so much discussion that that was it, and here we are a year later. All right, last one, because I know you got to run to the rink. This time of year, the favorite word is, you know, adjustments from one game to another, whether it's the NBA playoffs or the NHL playoffs. So are there any obvious adjustments to be made from game one to game two for either team?
I really liked, for the most part, how they played against, how Washington played against Montreal's top line an evening ago. And then the momentum change happened, and all of a sudden Suzuki and Caulfield and Slavkovsky started to feel their oats and play the way they can play. Montreal, Kevin, is going to have a much better first 10 minutes tomorrow night in game two. There's no doubt about it. Martin Saint-Louis is going to be preaching how well they played in the last 25 minutes or so of that game, most notably, I think, the last 15 minutes. But they are going to sit there and go, guys, we were right there with the top seeds. We hung in there and we're bounced away in overtime from taking away the home ice advantage. From an adjustment standpoint, I would like Washington to not adjust a thing from the way they started the game last night. And on the defensive side, I thought for the most part, with Thompson playing very effectively, that they took the right angles on the Canadian players. From all the defenders that I was talking with, Kevin, in advance of this series, everything was about directing the most dangerous Canadians players to weak spots on the ice. Sure, easier said than done, but I thought they did that really, really well. They took the right angles. They stayed on what hockey players refer to as the right side of the puck. Mm-hmm. Their bodies were between the puck and the goal, so they weren't on the wrong side of the puck, which would allow talented players to get to the cage. For the most part, I really liked game one, and I think they can enhance that in game two. For me, it's just a matter of scoring a bit more earlier and really making Montreal doubt itself. But I know the Canadians are going to be better in the first 10 minutes, and Washington had better be ready for those opening rounds.
You're the best for doing this. It's so much appreciated. I will be watching tomorrow night. Thanks, Joe, as always.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Kev. Thanks.
That was Joe Beninati from earlier in the show. When we come back, bad news for Maryland basketball. The Crab Five is completely gone. That's next.
All right, last night, the Caps got the big win in overtime against Montreal by a score of 3-2. Alex Ovechkin scored his first postseason overtime goal. Anthony Beauvillier scored his first postseason tally with the Washington Capitals. The Caps have also announced that defenseman Martin Ferravari underwent surgery to repair his meniscus. He will miss the rest of the playoffs. His replacement, Alex Alexiev, took a stick to the mouth in the third period. He received extensive dental work last night, but will continue to play. Maryland guard Rodney Rice has announced he is transferring to USC. And in football, just 2 days away from the draft, Peter Schrager has reported that the New York Giants and Cleveland Browns are fielding trade calls for their early first-round picks. Today is the first day of the Commanders' offseason workout program, limited to meetings, workouts, as I said, and rehab. Jaden Daniels was recorded with a big smile on his face jogging into the building. Safe to say, he is excited to kick off his sophomore campaign. The Nats will take on the Orioles tonight in the Battle of the Beltway. Mitchell Parker likely to get the start. First pitch is at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980 and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
So remember that Crab 5 during the run to the Sweet 16 for Maryland basketball? Derek Queen, Jacoby Gillespie, Juju Reese, and Selton Miguel, along with Rodney Rice. Well, Queen's off to the NBA. Reese and Miguel graduated. Gillespie signed with Tennessee. And today, Rodney Rice to USC for probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3.5 million for the season. The Crab 5, no more. But Buzz Williams has a really strong portal class. He's signed 8 players. It's a top 10 portal class so far, but this is the nature of college sports. These teams change completely year to year. All right, we're done for the day. Back tomorrow. Chris is next.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.